If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And we're back with you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. I'm Bridget, and sitting in with Sonar, Dr. Gary Ginsberg is our toxicologist, who will be with us shortly to answer or to discuss some of the stories of the week about the toxicology and environment. He has some good stories to discuss. And until then, he has some great stories to discuss and is with us right now. Hi, Dr. Ginsberg.
Hi, great to be with you again. Happy Saturday night.
Yeah, thank you. Happy Saturday night to you, too.
So should I just start off with laundry detergent, poison, and toddlers, laundry detergent?
Yeah, let's hear about what you have to say about toddlers.
Yeah, well, you know, when it comes to cleaning products, soaps, and detergents, we know that children can do the wrong thing if they ingest, say, a handful of laundry detergent just because they're curious. And that may actually lead to a concern about poisoning. They might end up in the emergency room for that, but it's usually not a big deal. You know, may cause some stomach distress, but it doesn't really burn their stomach. But what we're starting to see now, and over the last 3 or 4 years, the laundry companies, the makers of laundry detergent, have come up with these, I don't know if you've seen it, but these little pods. Have you seen these pods?
I have.
Yeah, they're little plastic, almost like sachets or pouches of laundry detergent. And this detergent is liquid and concentrated. So it's great, you know, like if you want to do your laundry and you don't want to, and you're going out to do it, like at the laundromat, and you don't want to bring a whole bottle of detergent, you don't need to. You could bring a pad or two and just open it when you get there, and it's very convenient. So I can understand the packaging advantages of it. But the disadvantage of it is that people tend to leave these laundry pods around where little kids can reach it, get to it. And it's not like a big bottle of a laundry detergent with a childproof seal on it that's hard to open. These things a child will be attracted to because they're bright and colorful, they're soft, they could feel good to chew on. And kids can puncture the plastic, and then the liquid detergent can be swallowed, and they might actually think that that's a cool thing to try out the taste of. Kids are sampling everything with their mouth, and this is highly concentrated form of laundry detergent. And when they ingest it, they may actually aspirate some of it into their lungs, and there have been a higher incidence, a surprisingly high incidence of breathing difficulties. So there was just a study published in Pediatrics summarizing the experience of emergency rooms over the last 2 years with poisonings from these laundry pods. 17,000 calls have come into poison control centers over the last 2 years because of these pods and children getting into them. I believe 769 of these led to admittance of the child into the hospital. So going through the emergency room and having serious enough symptoms that the children had to be admitted. 30 of them resulted in the children going into a coma and one death. Plus, a number of them have led to the laundry detergent, when the pod breaks, squirting into their eye and doing some corneal damage in a number of cases, because these are fairly basic, high pH mixtures that can do damage in mucous membranes. So there you have it. A packaged material, a form of product packaging that is inherently toxic or dangerous to young children, And now the laundry companies, the large makers like Procter & Gamble, they are looking to reformulate the packaging. But right now, you can still buy these pods. And so, you know, many people, many health authorities around the country are telling, you know, moms and dads to go back to the old-fashioned way that you've traditionally bought laundry detergent, and that is in the large box or the large container, stored away from where little hands can get on it in a locked cabinet. And, you know, if you do use the pods, be really careful where you leave them, because it wouldn't take more than a few minutes for a child to get into a lot of trouble, and you might have to rush off to the emergency room.
Wow, yeah, old-fashioned seems to be the way to go for a lot of things.
yeah. So anyway, that's one toxic poisoning story that is like the headline for this week. And it's really good that these researchers, these physicians, looked into and summarized the data from the last 2 years to really highlight how much of an issue this has become. Hopefully it will go down as they become reformulated. But still, these and what they're talking about doing is making them less colorful. But still, children may still get into them and chew on them. Anyway,
oh, that could be a good solution.
What else looked good to you?
Let's go on to the exfoliant causing plastic pollution of fish.
Right. So, what became very common and popular for skin exfoliation, these facial creams that feel a little abrasive when you put them on and rub them on and then wash them off. Is to have polyethylene or plastic, another word for plastic is polyethylene, microbeads that feel good when you're scrubbing them on and off your skin, but they don't break down in the environment. And so you wash them down the drain, they go out the sewage treatment plant, they end up in the bay or in the river or in Long Island Sound or in the ocean, and they sit there. And being plastic, they are good at absorbing toxic chemicals into them. And they don't just sit there in the sediment, but then marine worms will take them up, and that could go up the food chain, and eventually fish can bioaccumulate and biomagnify them, and to the point where toxic chemicals that are absorbed into these microbeads could then go up the food chain. So they become a vector or a transport mechanism for toxic chemicals that may be at trace levels in the water column to then, you know, have a vehicle to move it into fish. And could end up harming the fish, could end up being higher concentrations in humans. So the companies, this story that I sent you was about Unilever. Unilever is a large maker of cosmetics and personal care items, as well as some cleaning products. And they have decided to completely remove plastic microbeads from their facial scrubs. And there's about a dozen other things you could use in a facial scrub that does not involve plastic microbeads. So you could look for it on the label if you want to try to be environmentally conscious. It doesn't hurt you. The plastic microbeads is not a risk factor for the user. It's a risk factor for the environment, and it could be an environmental pollution source that could come back on our dinner plate. And so it's smart for these companies to reformulate and for us as the consumer to vote with our consumer dollars, vote away from plastic microbeads on the label and look for alternative facial scrubs.
Dr. G, wow. Is there another option other than plastic to put in there? Can you put like sand or any other abrasive?
Yeah, you know, sand is an interesting one. I haven't seen that used. I think that sand may be hard to process into fine enough particles and to get the right grit size. But, no, they are using some other natural sources, jojoba beans that can be ground down to do that. They're also using some salicylic acid as a natural exfoliant, and it's a mild acid can actually scrub away the dead cells.
Wow, that's so interesting. I've never even considered that is, I buy microbeads all the time. We'll be back right after the break. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.